The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Free NFL Draft mailbag. Got some Dynasty questions. You want your Dynasty answers before the NFL Draft? That's fine. We're going to answer them. Fantasyfootball at CBSI.com. See if we get some tweets that are rolling in now as well. I put a tweet out there. We also have the worst Twitter poll of all time to talk about at the top of the show because we have some big news. Antonio Brown re-signed by the Bucs and Teddy Bridgewater traded to the Broncos. I'm Adam Azer with Heath Cummings and Chris Towers. I feel like we haven't heard from Chris in a while. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How's everyone doing?
I told Heath, and you, I guess you were there too, blew a tire out today. First time I've ever done that. Really sucked. So, guess I've been better.
That's not fun.
No.
I'm sorry.
It's
that
okay.
Was today?
That was today. That was a few hours ago. Yeah, ruined our day.
Wow.
I'm really sorry.
That sucks.
I take no joy in this whatsoever.
It's funny to look at my car. It's just, you know, like, very lopsided.
How, like, were we'll you near your house?
I was. I was... okay. 30 seconds, so was able to get home. Maybe shouldn't have.
You were going somewhere.
We were going, yes. We were venturing out for a birthday, and we were going to be kind of out there in public for the first time in 15 months, and I blew my tires. So, oh, some other time. All right. Well, anyway, let's get to the fun stuff here. Heath put up a Twitter poll just now. You have a playoff roster in 2021 outside of quarterback, and it just went away. So what did it say? Which one are you taking? Sam Darnold?
Which one do you choose? Sam Darnold, Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, or C results? And when you said this was the worst Twitter poll of all time, I hope what you meant to say was this is the worst group of voters in a Twitter poll of all time, because for some reason, Sam Darnold has received 48.1% of the vote. I don't understand at all.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Where would you, before you even answer, I'm just going to tell you that what I'm going to say after is going to make you and everyone else that answers this question privately look bad. So,
great.
Where would you rank Sam Darnold in this quarterback class?
That's an impossible question to answer.
Six.
Okay. Chris, you want to?
Like, if I was drafting in this class and Sam Darnold was suddenly available in the draft, I would take him sixth.
Right?
Well, that'd be weird.
Yeah, amongst the quarterbacks.
That's because you've
he's
seen
younger
him play
than
for,
half the quarterbacks.
Well, if
you've
you're just
seen
evaluating
him play for
them.
3 years.
Yeah. Well, right. What would you do, Chris?
I would probably take any of the quarterbacks ahead of him, but or any of the big five at least, just because. You know, the mystery box element of it.
Yeah.
But if it's Sam
like the
Donald,
most likely
prospect,
outcome for.
Yeah.
The, well, the most Sam likely outcome prospect for third. Lance is he's probably worse than Darnold.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting that Mel Kiper Jr. said, if you put Sam Darnold in this draft, he's the second best quarterback. So.
I'd say third.
Okay. Yeah. What that makes me think is maybe this isn't a great quarterback class.
Yeah.
Well, he
that
believes
doesn't really
Sam.
Make
he
me think
Sam
like
Darnold.
Sam Darnold's good.
He likes Darnold.
No, we know Sam Darnold's bad. We have seen that over and over. Like
it's probably bad, but he's
we
also,
know he has been bad.
Yeah.
Yes. Whenever I do the projections with Sam Darnold, I always feel bad because, like, if you just look at the numbers and you use those to predict the future, which is what projections generally do, Sam Darnold looks like he's like 25% worse than every other quarterback in the league.
He's been the worst quarterback in terms of passer rating since he's come in the league. Yeah, Sam Darnold. So again, if you have a playoff roster in 2021 outside of quarterback, which one do you choose? Darnold 49%, Bridgewater 38%, Drew Lock 5%, C results 8%, And let's
see, results is the right answer to that poll.
The results are you didn't get very far in the playoffs. Those are the results you see. Yeah. So who do you think? We should probably be talking about Antonio Brown first, but it's fine. Who do you think is going to be the starting quarterback? It was only a 6th-round pick they gave up for Darnold or for Bridgewater. Heath, what do you make of this for the Broncos?
I think it's a great move by the Broncos. Shouldn't have any impact at all on whether they select a quarterback in the first round, if that possibility exists for them. Especially, I think, to get Fields, then they need to do that. Although that doesn't seem like John Elway's type. But yeah, I think if they can get Fields, they should do it, and he should be their starter. And if not, it depends on whether you want to take a chance on continuing to develop Drew Lock or not. If you're trying to make the playoffs, and I think they have a pretty good roster, they might have, if you just took away all the quarterbacks in the league and compared the rest of the rosters, the Broncos might have a playoff roster.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to make the playoffs this year, you start Teddy Bridgewater, without a doubt.
I think Drew Lock definitely starts the season as the starter, and I think Teddy Bridgewater definitely starts at least a few games.
They're very different quarterbacks, Chris, aren't they? I mean, this would have
what if Fields falls to him.
They're basically polar opposites. Well, I don't know if that's maybe a little strong, but they're very different quarterbacks. And how do you think it would affect the wide receivers?
So I think Drew Lock. I'm trying not to be too mean, but I'm pretty low on Drew Lock. I think his comp is kind of Jameis Winston, but like 65% as talented. Because he makes a lot of the dumb throws that Jameis Winston does, but he doesn't have the actual, like, the same arm talent to actually get away with it as often as Jameis did. So I think he's probably better for the wide receivers there than Teddy Bridgewater, just because I think he'd be more willing to take the deep shots. And, you know, last year Bridgewater actually was, like, middle of the pack in terms of attempt rate over 20%. He was just really bad at it. And the one thing that sticks out to me is, yes, he's a solid quarterback. Like, you look at his career yards per attempt, 7.3. It was 7.6 last year. That's all good. He's got a 3.4% touchdown rate for his career. Like, last year's 3% touchdown rate actually wasn't that much lower than his career rate. And I think at this point, you know, 1,500, 1,600 attempts in, that's probably who he is. He's probably someone who can get the job done for the most part, but you're always going to be leaving points on the field with him as quarterback. Lock, you're definitely leaving points on the field with him as a quarterback when, if he plays as poorly as he has so far. But there's still the potential that he can, you know, turn into kind of a middling quarterback, but who has, you know, that gunslinger approach that can be good for fantasy receivers. You know, maybe a Ryan Fitzpatrick type.
Mm-hmm. Heath, I want to finish up here. Basically, how might your projections change on the Broncos after this?
I just don't know why anybody thinks Sam Darnold is any good at all.
He makes a lot of really good throws. He's got a lot of talent. He has moments where you fall in love with him.
He flashes really, really high.
Right.
Like, he does these like random super athletic plays. And I think there's also just the, well, he's leaving Adam Gase factor.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a big part of it.
I don't anticipate this will change the projections for any of the Broncos.
Okay. Well, but if anything,
it gives them a better floor. I don't know that it really impacts their ceiling, but if Drew Lock doesn't get any better at all, they should have better quarterback play this year than they did last year.
Sure. Okay, we'll get to Antonio Brown in a second. I want to remind everybody, during the NFL draft, all 3 days, watch youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday for the entire NFL draft. Live coverage, fantasy analysis, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. And make sure you're checking this feed because we'll have episodes for you after day one, day two, and day three. It'll be late nights, and we're looking forward to it. And join our Facebook group right now. Enter our NFL draft contest. Just tell me what you think the first 10 picks are going to be. The players. You don't have to give me the teams, just the players in order. And number them, obviously. If you edit your comment, you will be disqualified. So do not edit your comment. But go to Facebook and just look for Fantasy Football Today, or you can click the link in the episode description. All right, then. Let's get to the news and notes. And other than the Buccaneers Denver quarterback situation, let's go to the Buccaneers. I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed at, and from a fantasy standpoint. I found them to be really difficult to predict and project on a week-to-week basis with Antonio Brown. And now he's back on a one-year deal. And if you want the numbers, during the seven game, now Mike Evans got hurt in week 17. And he played like 16% of the snaps. Antonio Brown had a huge game with, and Godwin did too, I believe, with Evans out. So if you look at the seven games in the regular season that they all played together, Mike Evans was by far the best. He was a top seven wide receiver. Chris Godwin was wide receiver 25 in both formats. Antonio Brown was wide receiver 50 in non-PPR and wide receiver 42 in PPR. Those were not including week 17, weeks 9 through 16. Seven games that all three wide receivers played and stayed healthy. But then in the playoffs, Chris Godwin had a lot more targets than Mike Evans. It was just weird. So, Heath, what do you think about this move with Antonio Brown coming back? And what does it mean for Godwin and Evans?
I don't like it, and I have not updated my projections yet, which is disappointing, I know. Bad job by me. But like, I had kind of just always tried to behave in my mind as if Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette were not all going to come back, because they all make the situation so much worse and so much more complicated. And with all three of them back, it's just absolutely awful. Like, Antonio Brown technically led Tampa Bay in targets per game and receptions per game last year. He had more targets per game and receptions per game than Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
But not in the seven games, but per game, the 16 games that Evans played, the 12 that Godwin played, the 8 that Brown played.
Yeah.
Right.
This is going to make it to where I project Mike Evans and Chris Godwin to both be busts.
Looks like Chris has a swan on his desk.
Just almost certainly. And it's probably going to move Tom Brady into my top 8 at quarterback.
That's interesting. Okay, so Chris Godwin and Evans to be busts. So where do you have them?
Certainly.
If they get drafted, where?
I assume
top 15 where they've been going.
Drafted in the first 3 rounds.
Yeah, they've both been going top 15 at the position. So
I will not have either of them in the top 4 rounds.
Yep. Same. I hate this. I kind of hate this offense with the, I don't think I'm going to have anybody on this offense except Tom Brady. There is no clarity on roles. There is no clarity on hierarchy. There's a lot of skills overlap.
Could be the best offense in football, though, Chris. That's the problem.
Right. But they have.
You should draft them in best ball for sure. They'll be very good in best ball.
Right. There will be big weeks for all of them. There will be weeks where Mike Evans scores, you know, multiple touchdowns. But like, he was wide receiver 15 last year, I think.
No.
That was scoring 12 per touchdowns.
Game? Per game?
I think so.
Yeah. Per game, he was 16 in PPR. Overall, he was 11. It's a little, like I said, he left that 1 week, but 16 per game and 11 overall.
That's with 13
and that was
touchdowns.
Scoring 13 touchdowns.
Yeah. 13 on 109 targets.
Right.
And like, yes, it's a great offense. And yes, Mike Evans historically has been someone who catches a lot of touchdowns. But Mike Evans is also a really good example of why you shouldn't expect outlier touchdown totals to sustain from 1 year to the next. Remember his rookie season, I think he had 9.
He had
one season, I think, where he had 12 and followed it up with 3. I want to say,
like, I think that was his rookie season or his second season. He had the big dip.
This is the third time in his career he's had at least 12 touchdowns. The prior 2 times he scored 5 or fewer the following season. So you and should bet on Mike Evans scoring 5 or fewer touchdowns next year. Like,
I have him projected for 7.5. I think 8 is the right number to set that.
You know, guy I would take is Antonio Brown. I don't really want to.
Depending
draft
on
him,
how late he goes,
but yeah, but I don't know, man. I mean, they're so good. They're so good. Well, here's the thing: I don't think they're going to be drafted in the top 15 anymore. Because everyone's going to feel the way that we're feeling, or at least fantasy analysts are going to feel the way that we're feeling right now, and they're going to fall in the rankings. So once you, if you guys start getting to round 4, and you're looking at them, and you're looking at DJ Moore and. You know, I think it becomes a lot more interesting. If you can give me 110 targets for Chris Godwin or Mike Evans, then I think you're going to get a top 20 receiver there for sure. You don't think so? Because they'll score touchdowns. Because what did he throw, 42 touchdowns last year?
Not so if he was 16th with 13 touchdowns on 109 targets.
I bet he was a little
10 targets is not enough.
I bet he was a little higher than that, honestly, if you take away week 17. But I know that you have to do that to everybody. It's not the easiest thing. But I think that they're going to throw a lot of touchdowns. They're going to throw a lot of passes, and they're probably going to be among the league leaders in touchdowns, especially with so many mobile quarterbacks are rushing for touchdowns. Tom Brady's not going to do that, right? Wouldn't you think the Bucs are going to be among the league leaders in passing touchdowns?
Yes.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. But not, what was it?
42, 40? I think.
He got to 40 last year, right?
Yeah, I bet he gets to 40 this year.
I would 17 games, yeah.
In 17 games, maybe. But it's
40. Yeah,
I think this offense probably isn't going to be quite as good as it was last year. Generally speaking, when you're talking about the top offense in football, it's very rare that the top offense in football is the top offense in football 2 years in a row. Obviously, you know, the Chiefs were number one in 2018. I think they've been fifth and eighth in the last two seasons in points per game. So, like, they'll probably be like the fifth best offense in the NFL next season. There's nothing wrong with that. That's still really, really good. But
who's throwing more touchdowns? Because, by the way, they threw 42. He threw 40, and Blaine Gabbert threw two.
But it's not just who's throwing more touchdowns than Tom Brady. It's how is he distributing those touchdowns? How many touchdowns will there be? I would think there's going to be, you know, like last year, there were three guys who had seven touchdowns on that team. And that's with Antonio Brown getting 4 and 8 games. I think you're probably going to have four guys get, you know, six plus touchdowns.
It's also with O.J. Howard scoring two in like five games.
Yeah, and he's going to throw to Giovanni Bernard near the red zone. You know, like that. This is just, it's an incredibly crowded offense, and it's going to be really good. I don't know how anyone's going to stand out enough to justify, you know, drafting them as like high end starters for sure. I don't think there's any way.
Right, but if you start talking about, okay, Kenny Golladay or Mike Evans, that's easy, right? Evans? Or is it not easy?
Golladay.
Really?
Yeah, like
it's just that Evans has been so good his entire career. He's never had less than 1,000 yards. You know? It's hard to bet against him.
Right, but he got, like, he needed a big game at the end to get there last year, right? He got 1,006 last season.
Missed the game.
And that was with 181 and 110 in his final in two of his final three games. And then in the playoffs, he averaged 51.
Yeah, the playoffs were discouraging. They had
I was
really
hoping this would happen.
What?
I just don't think it's, I don't know if it's discouraging as much as it's just acknowledging the reality of this offense. There's not going to be a real number one wide receiver.
It's interesting. What? Go ahead, Heath.
Or a number one running back.
I just updated my projections. They will be updated again, but for now, 110 targets for Mike Evans.
Hey, all right.
1,014 receiving yards, so he gets to keep that streak going. I've got him right around wide receiver 30.
Oh, 30. All right, so actually, I have to apologize because I was doing 110 based on 16 games. So I would need more than 110 for
Evans. I have him for 118.
Yeah, that would sound right.
30.
No way does Mike Evans
24.
No way does Mike Evans get 118 targets and finish as wide receiver 30. No way.
Everybody's getting 120 targets this year.
Yeah, like 118 targets. That's that is 33rd in the NFL in my projections. So I just
But his quarterback
really
is so good
on a per target basis. He's going to have really, really big games, but I just don't think he's going to be a reliable week in, week out. He'll be a fringe number two wide receiver who's really disappointing a lot of the times, I think.
Also, this is a good time since you said that, Adam, and I'm going to say that's a lot this offseason. I said it a lot last offseason. If a player is at wide receiver 30 in the projections, and he plays 16 games and hits in his projection,
17.
He will he will finish as a top 24 wide receiver because six guys ahead of him won't.
Sure. Okay. So, how about, would you rather have Juju Smith-Schuster or a Bucs wide receiver?
I know Heath is a lot higher on Juju than I am. I have both Evans and Godwin ahead of Juju.
I have Juju ahead of all Bucks wide receivers.
Ja'Marr Chase goes to the Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase or a Bucks wide receiver?
Probably both Godwin and Evans.
Definitely Godwin.
That would be a pretty crowded receiving core too.
Would you rather have Antonio Brown or a 49ers wide receiver?
Oh, two different 49ers receivers.
Yeah.
I do wonder how good Antonio Brown is. He's going to be 33 this year, right? 32 or 33? I'll check real quick. He's going to be 33 in
he
July.
He looked pretty awesome last year.
I know.
Year.
I'm wondering if he could actually be the best wide receiver on the team.
Brady did look for him more, and that's the like, I don't, it's kind of like Pittsburgh. I don't think Deontay Johnson is their best or most talented wide receiver. I think he's probably third, but Roethlisberger just keyed in on him so much. And, you know, there were definitely times like that with Antonio Brown too, although playoffs for him also not super encouraging.
What's the most yards Tom Brady could throw for without the Bucs having a 1,000-yard receiver? That'd be fun if he threw for like 4,800 yards and none of them hit 1,000.
Let's move on to our next topic here. We got to get to our emails. Denver acquired Teddy Bridgewater. The Saints are looking to trade up for cornerback Caleb Farley, according to Yahoo's Charles Robinson. We'll see if that's true. Baltimore has cooled on LSU wide receiver Terrace Marshall due to injury concerns. That's according to The Athletic. Washington acquired guard Eric Flowers from Miami for a swap of 7th-round picks. Flowers could start, could be a backup. He's been a better guard, much better guard than tackle. In his career, he was a total bust as a tackle, Eric Flowers. And Detroit inquired about the number 4 pick, which is Atlanta's. They were inquiring so they could move up to take Ja'Marr Chase, but the asking price was too high. That's according to ESPN. And Saquon Barkley is on track for week 1, according to Adam Schefter, which I didn't realize was a concern.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think it was really a question.
This could be wrong, and I'm not going to change my projection. I'm just emotionally feeling this. I hate it when there is a story about a player that we really didn't have any reason to think wouldn't be ready for week 1, that he is expected to be ready for week 1 from a guy like a local guy, a local paper, fine. But Schefter or Rapport or somebody tweets that Saquon Barkley is on track for week 1 in April, and I shiver.
It's weird. It was weird. It's like he got hurt in week 2. Why wouldn't he be ready for the season? That's not a year-long recovery anymore.
It's kind of like if your wife just out of the blue says to you, honey, I would never cheat on you. Oh, I didn't think you would. Why are you telling me this?
And, you know, according to Dave Gettleman, they do have another 3-down back on their roster.
That's right.
So
Devontae Booker, 3-down back.
No, I still have Barkley ranked 4th at running back. I don't really have any concerns. I mean, maybe we get to July and he's not running and then I'll be concerned, but I would imagine he's well on his way to recovery.
I dropped an NFL draft bold prediction on the tweet machine last night. And of course it was wacky and people didn't like it. My bold prediction was that Penei Sewell does not get drafted in the top 10. 5 quarterbacks, 3 wide receivers, 1 tight end, and maybe a defensive player.
Adam,
get taken. What?
That's not a bold prediction. That's called daydreaming about your team.
No. I wouldn't even want that to happen. I wouldn't care.
That was the best possible thing that could happen to the Giants.
I'd rather them take one of the wide receivers. But
well, okay, for fan Justin purposes, Fields I understand fall. That, but they have wide receivers.
One of the 3 wide receivers, not like Kadarius Toney. Yeah, so that's my bold prediction, is that Penei Sewell falls out of the top 10. Do you guys have an NFL draft bold prediction you'd like to share?
The 49ers make a mistake. Is that not bold enough? No. Is that kind of the consensus at this point?
2. The Bears trade up, somehow get Justin Fields.
Oh.
And no running backs in the first round.
Okay.
Anymore, ever.
All right. Well, I do want to talk to all of you about the CBS Sports mobile app. As you know, it's my go-to for live scores and breaking news. In fact, I was on last night, or every night, basically, most nights anyway. Before I go to bed, I check all the baseball box scores on CBS Sports on the app to make sure I'm not missing anybody for my fantasy teams. By the way, Chris, should I drop Ian Kennedy for the closer for the Royals?
Josh Stelmont?
Yeah.
Depends if you're in one of my leagues.
Yes.
Don't. Keep Ian Kennedy.
Did you guys know that the Royals have the best record in baseball?
Yeah. Their lineup is awful. None of them are hitting. They must have just great pitching.
Oh, yeah. They're due to be even better.
I guess so.
I mean, yeah. There's no way Jake Junis comes back down to earth. This is good fantasy football podcast.
Yes. Anyway, the CBS Sports mobile app. For the NFL draft, all right, I wanted to let you in on a little football fan hack here. If you don't have the app, you can download it at your mobile app store. The CBS Sports app is always totally free. Once you have the app, or if you already have it, make sure your NFL team news and draft alerts are turned on via the settings screen. It takes about 5 seconds. You'll not only get updates on each pick your team makes, but also when the pick is in, breaking news if your team makes a big trade, and lightning-fast analysis like draft grades and player comps on each of your favorite team's draft picks. The CBS Sports app is the best way to never miss an NFL draft moment, so if you haven't yet, fire open the CBS Sports mobile app and get your mobile war room ready ahead of the action on Thursday. I asked for some NFL draft tweets. I got one. So that's disappointing. People, but it was, to be fair, only like a half hour before the show.
Well, that's because they were their draft tweets and they didn't send them out. I was confused.
Left them in drafts.
That's good. All right, from Ray Saja Jr. If the Packers draft a wide receiver, where would he be ranked and how does that ranking change with the individual player? Assuming it's not Chase, Smith, or Waddle, how would you rank a wide receiver that the Packers take in round one?
Off the top of my head, I would think it would be very unlikely any of them would rank in the top 50 at wide receiver.
I was going to say would be between 40 and 60.
Yeah, that there's just not a lot of targets to go around there. You know, it's not going to be a high volume passing offense. Devontae Adams is going to get 30% of them off the top.
That's the question. I mean, what if that's 25%?
I think it would be a bad decision given how good their offense has been funneling that many targets to him. And, you know, I don't think you would want to take targets away from Devontae Adams for any rookie wide receiver. If you're going to take targets away from the passing game, from the running backs, Aaron Jones or any of the tight ends or Alan Lazard, I think that makes sense. But I think it would be a bad decision. And I don't think the Packers would do it to take any targets away from Devontae Adams.
I would be more excited.
It's so weird because they have a combination of like they're one of the only teams that each of the last 3 years has been below 300 pass attempts to wide receivers and also has like the number one wide receiver target per game guy other than Michael Thomas. So there's just not wide receiver targets to give.
They're one of the few teams that still uses their wide receiver one the way teams did 10, 15 years ago. Like there aren't that many guys who get 28% of the targets anymore, but the Packers really do use him like that.
But they also are one of the, like I said, it's been since 2002 since they've drafted a wide receiver in the first round. They have garbage wide receivers. So if they get, I don't think it'll be Kadarius, maybe it's Kadarius Toney, who knows? If they get Rondale Moore, Kadarius Toney, somebody that comes in and can instantly be much better than MVS and Alan Lazard, then I'd be more excited because I would just look at a situation where the targets might not be great, but the production per target could be a lot better than other wide receivers in that range. So I guess I would make Justin Jefferson comparisons. Not that I would think the impact would be the same, but I thought Justin Jefferson could easily step into the number two target role. And that's what I would see for someone with the Packers. And maybe it's 90 to 100 targets in 17 games, and maybe it's 6 or 7 touchdowns or something like that. And I don't know that I'd rank them much higher than 40 or anything, but I'd be more excited. I think I just want pieces of great offenses, you know? And if you get a talented player with Aaron Rodgers, I'm in.
Yeah, and you know, to go back to the Tampa Bay point, you know, we're talking about them as if everyone's going to stay healthy. That's not going to happen. It's the same thing with Green Bay. Like, if they do draft a wide receiver, Devontae Adams has missed. He missed 4 games in 2019. He's missed time over the last couple of seasons. So, you know, there's a possibility that there's a significant role there. Alan Lazard has obviously struggled to stay healthy. MVS hasn't exactly, made a great case for staying on the field. So there could be an opportunity there for sure. It would just be like, I wouldn't expect anyone being drafted there to be a starting caliber player. They would have to earn that.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
And like the Justin Jefferson comparison, I want to make sure I state how outlandish that is. Like 75% of his volume, which is what you're talking about with 90 to 100 targets. And at best, 90% of his efficiency, because Justin Jefferson can't even maintain that efficiency. You're talking about a guy that catches 60 passes for 900 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's possible, but that's not a top 40 wide receiver in the projections. Now, at the end of the year, if he plays 16 games, he'll finish in the top 40. But 6,905 as a projection is 45 to 50 range.
Yeah, right. Like I said, I don't think I would rank... I don't know if this makes a lot of sense to most people, but it makes sense to me. I'm not saying I'd rank the guy higher, but even when you look at rankings, there are certain players that I'm more excited to draft because I feel like there's more upside, I guess.
Sure.
And that's... I would probably...
Yeah, there's a difference between rankings and projections.
Yeah, I would just be more excited about the upside of the number two receiver on the Packers than I might be of... who's in that range? Who's 45 for you?
Antonio Brown.
Antonio, so I would probably take
Denzel
Antonio
Mims,
Brown.
Tyrell yeah, oh, right. Williams.
Denzel, I would take the number two guy on the Packers way ahead of the number one wide receiver on the Jets or the Lions.
He'd probably be about as talented as Denzel Mims with less target opportunity.
We don't know how talented... we know that Denzel Mims was like a combine star, and I'm interested there. But I guess I can't.
We don't know how talented this fictional rookie wide receiver is either.
Correct. We don't. You're right. But
like Michael Gallup. It'd be the same range as like a Michael Gallup or a LaVisca Chenault. Like those kind of guys... You might want to draft him. Yeah.
Well, I happen to like Kadarius Toney a lot.
That's where Alan Lazard is.
If it were Kadarius Toney, I would be very excited. Let's put it that way.
I think that's fair. Yeah. That's why I said 40 to 60, and it would depend on how much I liked him before the draft. But it's probably better to just say 50 and not factor that
cool.
in.
Cool. 50 it is. Let's take a break here on Fantasy Football Today. When we come back, we will read your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. By the way, more NFL draft coverage. The Pick 6 podcast is where you want to be. We've got the fantasy analysis. They've got everything else. The Pick 6 podcast, check that out. They are all over the NFL draft beforehand. If you want rankings and mock drafts and all that thing, you're going to hear from Ryan Wilson. You want a gambling spin on it, prop bets, those types of things. The Pick 6 podcast is your home for that. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Selling a little? Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Let's read your emails. Thanks a lot for sending them in. And we've got one from Josh from a town west of Minneapolis. We will say San Francisco. He needs to keep one of these three. He's already keeping McCaffrey and Devontae Adams. James Robinson in the third round, Keenan Allen in the sixth round, or David Montgomery in the seventh round?
It's probably, I would guess it's Allen. I think I have him ranked higher than Montgomery. Although, do you have to make a decision before the first 2 days of the draft? Because after the first 2 days of the draft, it could definitely be James Robinson.
Yeah.
But for three rounds higher, I'm probably between, I'd probably go Allen and PPR and Montgomery and none. But
okay. This is from Mike D. He is from the apple and hop capital of the Pacific Northwest, which I assume is Seattle, because he says, "Dear Sean, Gary, Detlef, and Nate, from a series."
Thunder.
What? Thunder?
Oklahoma City Thunder.
"From a series of trades of current and future rookie draft picks, I now own the first and second overall picks in a 10-team Superflex Dynasty startup draft. From the second round on, I will pick eighth in a snake draft, and I lost my third round pick from one of my trades." But he does have the first two picks. So should I start QB, QB, startup, Superflex Dynasty, or elite running back? Or what do you guys think? What would you do with the first two picks, 10-team Superflex Dynasty?
I'd probably go Mahomes, McCaffrey.
Oh, the start. Okay. Yeah. Startup draft. Yes. Okay. That makes sense. Sorry. I thought he was talking about a rookie draft. Yes. Mahomes and McCaffrey.
From Jack, "I have the second pick in a 10-team PPR two receiver league with a flex. My first five picks are pretty locked in." This is a very open question here. "Round 6 through 12, who are some players you would target?" So that would be picks 51 and on. PPR, what do you think?
This was So I'll just say like some players I'm higher on than the consensus in that.
See, range. There you go. You have to laugh at the guy.
One of my favorite players from that range.
Laugh at the guy who chose this email.
I'm probably higher on the consensus than Curtis Samuel, probably on Corey Davis as well. I'm probably higher on the consensus than the consensus on Mark Andrews.
Yes, Mark Andrews is a good one. You like Debo, right?
CeeDee Lamb probably doesn't make it to that. Yeah, I like Debo a lot. I have him as the 49ers' number one wide receiver, or number one for fantasy, and actually a top 20 wide receiver. So yeah, I like him. Juju, if he makes it there. I still think there's room for Marquise Brown to break out.
I'm taking Kareem Hunt in that range again.
Yeah.
Seems okay. Yeah.
Once you get to the 80s or so, I like Tyler Boyd.
Yep. Yeah. I think he's going to be undervalued.
Even if they take a receiver tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll have his role. I think he'll be, just going to keep comparing him to Julian Edelman, kind of a little, 85% of Julian Edelman at his best.
Yeah, I think, I'm sorry, I'm going to say this out loud, and hopefully George is not listening to today's podcast, but I think Tyler Boyd's better than Julian Edelman.
Yeah, in fantasy, though? I mean, Julian Edelman was...
No, but just like saying Tyler Boyd could be 85% of anything Julian Edelman doesn't sound right.
I don't know if Edelman is borderline Tyler Hall
Boyd's,
of Famer
Tyler
here.
Tyler Boyd's not going to make the Hall of Fame, Heath. Like 100% lock, Tyler Boyd.
Well, I'm sorry he was born at the wrong place, wrong time, and didn't get to play with Tom Brady.
Yeah, the thing with this range that I'm realizing is there are like no running backs that I like in this range.
Right.
Like it's either I'm going to take multiple running backs inside of the top 30, or I'm probably not going to take a running back until late. So this is a really good, this high kind of highlights why that's my approach, which is the wide receiver options available after pick 50 are so much better than the running backs who are likely going to get pushed up into that range. Because that's what always happens is there's going to be, you know, David Johnsons and James Connors and guys like that getting pushed up, you know, whoever the Steelers starter is, if they don't get a good rookie, those guys are going to go in this range because that's what always happens. And you're better off targeting wide receivers in the 50 to 100 range. And that's also where you should probably get your quarterback in a non super flex league. And you know, maybe your tight end if you don't go with one of the big three.
And I got to tell you, this was the best question we read so far, Heath. It was a heck of a conversation that we had.
Yeah. I got some more projections updated.
You put Tyler Boyd in the Hall of Fame.
Lemons out of lemonade, my guy. Come on, there you go.
Oh, boy, do I hate lemonade. Sean says, happy grill season. Yeah.
It's always grill season for Heath.
No way.
In South Florida. Yeah.
I've been offered Allen Robinson, Keenan Allen, and some points in a salary cap league for Tyreek Hill. Half PPR. Would you give up Tyreek Hill to get Allen Robinson, Keenan Allen, and some salary cap points?
Man, I think you'd have to.
Yeah, that's a good haul.
Like two top 12-ish wide receivers. I know Tyreek Hill's amazing, and especially in half point PPR, that's an even better format for him, relatively speaking. But like two top 12 wide receivers, and you have an additional flexibility in your budget to like push an elite running back for three extra dollars. I think that's probably the right move.
Yeah, I was looking. I think even like without the points, the trade chart would say Allen and Robinson are more valuable. So. Boys got to get a premium when you take multiple players over the best player. And I think this is enough of a premium.
Yeah. It's not like you're getting two like mid-range wide receiver twos. These guys are both probably wide receiver ones or pretty close.
Okay. This next email is where it's at. This is from Daniel W. He is a longtime listener and a fan of all the CBS analysts, except Heath, who claims to be the number one Kansas City Chiefs fan. I think I could beat Heath in Kansas City Chiefs history trivia.
I have never claimed never. To be the number one Kansas City Chiefs fan. I had almost stopped cheering for any football team before they drafted Patrick Mahomes. Now, so Daniel.
So you're a front runner.
What I really want to say is damn, Daniel.
By the way, how many Kansas City Royals games have you watched this year?
How many Royals games have I watched this year?
Yeah.
I have watched as many Royals games combined as I have watched other teams' games
this year. So zero?
Yes.
I really like baseball. Man. I didn't know how much I'd
what
like
happened to
baseball
you,
without you being went, on the show.
You're too big for baseball now? You're too big time?
I'm not at all. It's just
they got you on the FFT pod full time now, and you don't even think about baseball.
I don't have an MLB subscription anymore because I don't do anything baseball related, and they don't show Royals games in South Florida. I'm not gonna watch MLB Network. I'm gonna watch the Marlins.
Yeah,
yeah.
Playoff
the Marlins
team.
Have an exceptional pitching staff. Heath, you haven't watched Trevor Rogers yet. You don't
Maybe
know
I'll
what
watch-
life is like.
Maybe I'll watch their road games, but their home stadium is too unappealing.
You know, that's a really, so this is a mailbag show. We make our own rules here. The Marlins baseball stadium is so ugly on the inside, so hideous to look at. The walls, the turf, it's just.
Adam,
it's,
can I tell you something?
What?
I went to a Yankees game recently.
Yeah.
You know what stadium, Yankee Stadium, reminded me most of?
Oh, no.
Marlins Park.
No, I don't see any similarities.
Oh, yes.
No. I don't see any similarities. You got nice Kentucky bluegrass in the Bronx. I don't know what you got. It's just a boring, ugly stadium to look at. And it makes for... And the lighting. I don't think the lighting is bad. It makes
the lighting
for...
Is very
yeah,
bad.
But enough about...
Bad
but enough about Yankee Stadium, Adam.
All right, here's the question. Dear Russell, Leaf, Mandarich, and Couch.
I mean, come on. You're going to say it's not boring, at least? Yankee Stadium's incredibly boring.
When there are 2,000 fans there, maybe, because it's so cavernous.
No, just I'm talking about the architecture.
It's I don't love it. It's cavernous.
We can agree
it's
that Kauffman Stadium is more beautiful than both.
It's a corporate mausoleum.
Probably. It's cavernous.
Fountains.
Yeah.
Grass.
Yeah. All right. I'm writing to make an observation that you guys have Clyde Edwards-Helaire ranked too low. The Chiefs recognized and learned one of the most difficult ways a team can learn the O-line needed to be addressed. They need to protect their $500 million investment, first of all, and need to start making defenses guess what they're going to do more. They haven't added really any running back talent as of yet. The Chiefs made a first-round investment in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They haven't made any upgrades to their defense. It seems the Chiefs, with the addition of Long and Tooney and now Orlando Brown, they're protecting Mahomes and taking pressure off of their defense and going to improve their run game. Good point. Also, Adam, watch Pulp Fiction already. Another good point. I'll try to do that. But are you too low? Heath, are you too low? Number one Chiefs fan on Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Where do you have him ranked?
I thought that the sentence I really liked the most was the Kansas City Chiefs recognized and learned in one of the most difficult ways a team can learn that they shouldn't have drafted a running back in the first round. You're right.
That's not what it said.
I have Clyde 20th, 21st, wow. Something like that.
You are too low.
At running back, that like I. If they get through the draft, the first 2 days of the draft without selecting a running back, he will move up a little bit. But I'm sorry. I've got him 18th in PPR. But I don't know why I would rank him ahead of Chris Carson or James Robinson or Josh Jacobs or David Montgomery. There's that many good running backs. And he's kind of right there on the border of the guys that I'm not sure if they're good running backs or not. And I'm not sure if this is a good situation or not. They haven't added talent, but they did bring back the guy who played more snaps than Clyde in the playoffs.
He was hurt in the playoffs.
Yeah, but he was coming back from that injury.
And then in the Super Bowl, he was the guy.
Yeah, and it looked like the fact that he came back at all from that injury was pretty surprising.
Yeah, he's tough.
Did you say he was the guy in the Super Bowl, Adam?
At running back.
Was he?
Well, I think they ran the ball like four times in the first half, but then I remember he hit his over prop almost immediately. He had a big run at the beginning of the second half. It looked pretty good.
I thought Williams played more snaps in the Super Bowl as well.
I mean, maybe because they were trailing by so much, but at halftime, they went right back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he actually did some good things.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, I have him as the number 11 running back, but ooh, there is like a real glut between 11 and... I don't know. There's 20 points separating 11 and 20 in the rankings for me. So, or in the projections for me. So, you know, a touchdown here, a touchdown there could move one guy up or down. But I kind of think he's going to have a pretty healthy role in the passing game. You know, I have him for 53 catches. And I would guess there's a gap there between you and me.
Oh, for sure. And I think like that's an. What's that?
You got to wrap it up. We'll move on after this. Good.
Yeah, I've got him at 44 catches. But
that probably explains, like, if I had him at 44, he probably drops down like 15 points and is RB 18.
Yeah. No, I've got him 24 points behind number 16, Nick Chubb. So that wouldn't get me there. But yeah, it might be close.
Look at this guy, man. He averaged 7.1 yards per carry against the Bucks. He had 4 carries in the first half and 5 in the second half. 9 carries for 64 yards. Darrell Williams had 2 carries. Edwards-Helaire had 3 targets. Darrell Williams had 7 targets in the game. All right, we got a few more questions to read here. This is from Steve. Dear Don, Ted, Brian, and John. Oh, man, that feels so easy. Grade this dynasty best ball trade. Give up 2021 picks, 1.2 and 2.2. Oh, this trade actually changed. Damn it. He sent a follow-up email.
Don, Ted, Brian, and John. Like, there's not a lot of Teds.
Let me come back to this one here. I'll come back to this one. I'll get the updated email. Sorry. Oh, it's
You all right? Did you hurt yourself? Did you pull a Sammy Sosa?
No, I was like, I was sneezing and I was scrambling to find the mute button. And I just ran out of time, so I'm sorry. It's Don Shula, Ted Marchabrota, Brian Billick, and John Harbaugh. Okay, I'll come back to that one. Sorry about
that.
What
do they have in
common? Ravens. Or Baltimore, rather. Matt Wildstein.
Okay, Baltimore Colts.
From Northridge, California. Here's his team. Would you take Trevor Lawrence? I guess he has the first pick. What would you do with the dynasty pick? He has Jalen Hurts and Tua. It's a one quarterback league. He has Jonathan Taylor, Dobbins, and Antonio Gibson. Julio Jones, McLaurin, Claypool, Sutton. John Smith is his tight end. You take Lawrence?
Not a tight end premium league, right?
No.
Yeah, I think you need to go get Lawrence. You have two quarterbacks in a super flex league, and I'm not like there's a chance that we get to next year and neither of them are starters.
No,
it's not a super flex league.
Yeah. I was thinking you should try to trade it for a really good youngish wide receiver. Because I think that's a bigger need for you. I think in a one QB league, it's not that hard to find a QB. But
I'm sorry.
You've got Julio Jones as your number one. You know, his dynasty value is very low. Who was the number three? Terry McLaurin was number two.
McLaurin, Claypool, Sutton, Hollywood Brown. It's not bad. Debo.
Oh, you got Debo. That's his number one, Chris.
What do you do, guys? You get the first pick. What do you do?
I'm taking Chase.
I'd try to move it. If not, Chase makes sense. Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the Baltimore email. So you give up picks one, pick 1.2 and 2.2 in this draft, plus Keyshawn Vaughn and Chris Herndon. And you get back 1.9, 2.9, James Robinson and Marquise Brown.
I'll have a better answer for you after day two of the draft. But if the Jaguars don't add significant talent at running back, I think I'd probably do that.
And this is Superflex, and he only has one quarterback. He has Daniel Jones and Jameis Winston too, but I'm probably not doing this deal.
Okay. Yeah, because you want to take, you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. In all likelihood.
Yeah, you take Fields or Wilson.
Oh, his best running backs are Chase Edmonds and Gus Edwards.
Would you rather have 1.2 or James Robinson? It's kind of what it...
I'd rather have Robinson. Depends on what the Jaguars do in the draft. If you don't have to make a call until Saturday, like if you can accept on Saturday, then that will change my opinion, but... If the Jaguars don't make a significant addition, I'd rather have Robinson than 102.
I think I'll probably have Chase ranked higher than Robinson. So I think I'd rather have 102. But, man, you've got all those.
All right, let's go. Next email is from a man named Max in Manchester, UK. I just drafted Daniel Jones in a Superflex league, so I'm an honorary.
Did you just search Daniel Jones when you pick the emails? Put Daniel Jones in the email, and it will get read on this show.
Subject line, Daniel Jones. I'm an honorary Giants fan this year. All right, Max. Superflex league, what are your thoughts on handcuffing your quarterback? What do you think?
Depending on how big the rosters are.
Yeah, like it's... You'll have some backup quarterbacks get drafted in super flex leagues, but I'm blanking on the Giants backup. I know they signed somebody.
It's not Colt McCoy anymore. Who's their back? I don't know. I don't remember. I should know that.
I thought they signed somebody.
Yeah. I think you're
either
right.
Way. It's unlikely to be a good enough. It's Mike Glennon. Sorry. So okay. It's unlikely to be a good enough player that you're drafting a backup for the Giants. That's
he was talking
where
in
the backup
general.
Will be great.
Yeah. Like Trubisky in Buffalo, Mariota, Heinicke. Those are the three examples that he gave. Yeah, I don't usually do it, but I see the logic. If you have big enough roster spots, go. We'll leave it at that. But what are your thoughts on handcuffing wide receivers on good passing offenses that you suspect will deliver if the starter goes down? Hill and Hardman, Cooper/Lamb and Gallup, Diggs and Davis for the Bills.
Is this guy just stealing the friendship strategy?
It's sort of the friendship.
Well, I don't think you should target them over guys who you think are better just because they're a handcuff for someone on your team. And I think that's true for running backs. I don't think you should target Alexander Mattison just because he's your backup. It's got to be a good player. Like I think we've kind of seen with Hardman that it's not necessarily, if Hill goes down, he'll be awesome.
Yeah.
It's not a one-to-one fit. Hardman's fast, but he's not Tyreek Hill. Like, they're different players.
I don't mind the concept, but ideally, the friendship strategy was you take a wide receiver and then you take a wide receiver on his team that independently has value. You like the pick there. You're not just taking him because he's on his team. And then if the first wide receiver you took gets hurt, well, all of a sudden you just have an amazing value in the eighth round or whatever.
It's like the Kareem Hunt of wide receivers.
Exactly.
There's almost none of them are running back, but there's more of them at wide receiver.
Okay. And then finally. Yeah.
And I think there's probably more logic to it in a super flex league where you don't have to choose to start one of them.
Okay. From Colin, I run a 10-team, 5-keeper league, PPR. During the offseason, I allowed trades, including draft picks and players. If a team wants to trade a pick for a player at the time of the trade, the pick must have an equal value of 30 picks within that player's value according to Fantasy Pros PPR rankings. So, for example, our first overall pick is technically 51st overall after factoring the keepers. So the best that can be traded for is the 21st overall pick. But we have a guy with Barkley, Adams, Kelsey, Taylor, Metcalf, Josh Allen, a lot of guys ranked highly. He says he's willing to trade anyone, but he's hampered by our rule. What do you think would be a fair addition to the rule to allow the ability to trade for a Taylor who's a first-round value? But obviously, I think you guys get the point. It's a good question.
I think I speak for both Heath and I when I say get rid of the rule.
Sure.
Right, Heath?
That sounds great.
Okay.
All right, I'm sorry. I don't speak for Heath any longer.
No, I'm 100%. I'm sorry I didn't express my myself clearly. I am 100% behind that ruling.
There shouldn't be like arbitrary limitations on what you can trade a player for. Let people make trades that they want to make.
All right,
America.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, everyone. It's going to be a late week, a lot of late nights, but it's going to be a lot of fun. We will talk to you after round one on Thursday night / Friday morning. Thanks to Chris and Heath and all of you. We will see you then. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.